Welcome to the Larry Kreider's Leadership Podcast. Larry is the author of over 40 books, the founder of Dove International, a worldwide family of churches and ministries in six continents, and has over 50 years of leadership experience. He and his guests will share inspirational leadership insights from their journey with God. These insights, gleaned from serving leaders in many nations, will transform your life and leadership. For more information on Larry's books and resources, visit LarryKreider.com.
Welcome to the Larry Kreider Leadership Podcast. Larry Kreider here. So first of all, Diana Mundy, the whole way from Nairobi, Kenya.
That's right.
Welcome.
Thank you.
And of course, you and your husband, Ibrahim, you know, give leadership to churches all over East Africa. Mm-hmm. And you've written more than 50 books. That is prolific. Yeah. That is amazing.
Thank you.
And the one who's helped me with every book I've ever written,
right.
Sarah Souder, yeah. who heads up Partnership Publications, House Sales Publications. Welcome, Sarah.
Thank you. It's a privilege to walk across the hallway and be part of this.
That's right. Right, our studio is right next to your office. This is fantastic. I think, Diane, we're going to start with you. We're just going to talk about writing and publishing. Mm-hmm. And some people think it's a huge deal. It's really hard. It's a lot of work, but it's not as hard as a lot of people mm-hmm. think. Mm-hmm. So let's start with you, you know, Diane. How did you get started in writing? You know, you've written these 50-plus mm-hmm. books. How did that whole thing ever start for you?
Thank you. Actually, when I was in high school, somehow our English teacher saw me as her pet student. I don't
really?
Know. And I remember we used to have a school newsletter, and it was the kind of thing where there would be this much text and have this much space,
sure.
and we had to cut the papers and make it fit. And for some reason, she noticed that I was good at that. So she would say, here, Diane, we have this. It only has this much space to fit. Can you get it down to size?
Right.
And I would start, you know, taking out words here and there or rewriting sentences, and I loved it. And it was just fascinating, and it was like solving a puzzle and playing with words, and that just started my interest in writing.
So you've obviously, I mean, you've written books for school systems, mm-hmm. and tell us about some of the books you've written.
Well, I've written a book on parenting. I think mm-hmm. that was the first one I wrote.
That.
And some children's books, like This is Pam, This is Tom, Tom Has a Box, and just some simple children's books, but mostly books for the Kenya curriculum, which is they're rolling out a new curriculum, so they need new textbooks.
So all over the nation of Kenya, students are using books that you've written.
That's true. Yeah,
that is amazing.
Right.
We're talking multiplied thousands and thousands of books.
Yeah, we thank God for that. It was an opportunity that opened up about 6 or 7 years ago. I didn't have any plan for it, but
I remember back in the day, you had a magazine mm-hmm. that you were involved. Tell us about that.
Yeah. When we went back to Kenya in 1984 with my husband, we were just interested in doing something for the nation. So we got together with another friend who was also into publishing, started a Christian magazine, and the magazine was very popular.
Right.
I remember
going down the streets of Nairobi, Kenya, and right there on the street
being
was
sold.
Your magazine.
Right.
On newsstands.
Right, right. And it was making enough of impact that it was not popular with
among
some of the powers
people, right?
that be, right? So it was actually, after 3 years of publication, it was banned by the government, was made illegal. And one of our editors was jailed. We were just speaking truth. I mean,
right,
it wasn't anything undermining anybody, except we were telling the truth. So some, as I said, the powers that be didn't like the truth that much.
Right.
Yeah.
Sarah Souder, you, of course, did give leadership to this whole publishing end of Dove International, you know, partnership publications. You help authors write their books mm-hmm. and publish their books. House-to-house publications. How did you get started in this whole writing thing?
Well, I always enjoyed writing in high school, too, and found it an interesting challenge to put words together in a way that was creative and meaningful to people.
Right.
And was involved in as a school artist, so to speak. And at that point, I didn't know it, but I was already starting to be involved in management, which is part of what I do. Is I'm a project organizer, so to speak. So some things come along as later in life, as a young adult, I realized, you know what, I can really manage large projects and remember each detail.
Yeah.
And at first I was like, do I want to use this gift? And I made a choice. You know what, I'm going to follow God. He gave mm-hmm. me this gift. I'm going to use it. So doors opened, as often do. You may think, well, if you're a young leader, well, this is who I am. Well, things may open for you that you may be surprised about. Mm-hmm. So that's what we want to challenge some of you today. Even if you're an older leader, there may be some things you haven't thought about that mm-hmm. you could do to bring change to your right. your region, your country, through writing.
Mm-hmm. I remember when I was a senior pastor of a church, and of course you were on our staff, vital part of our staff, Sarah. And I remember a well-known Christian leader named Ralph Naber, who was strong in small groups and cell groups. We met one day, and I told him our story. He began to cry, and he said, "You got to write this. You got to write this." And we wrote this book, House to House. I remember you were just key in that whole thing happening, and that kind of started our whole publication company. You remember that? Talk to us.
Well, it started with pen on paper.
There
it started with writing some words, pulling them together, working with the team. Mm-hmm. This book was in notebook form for a long time.
It was
a simple hole punch.
I remember.
Ring binder.
I remember.
We passed it around to the leaders that developed content. So it started simple.
Mm-hmm.
And it started with somebody else's dream that became
really?
Larry's dream and
right.
became reality of bringing change. And, you know, today this book, how old is this book?
I don't know. It's 25, 30 years
old.
Maybe. I don't know. It's been around a long time.
This is a good example how somebody went through the work, you know, decades
yes.
ago, and we've refreshed it.
We have.
Over and over, and it's for this generation of leaders, it's up to date because
yes.
we went back
right.
to it and repenned some of it, but we started somewhere.
Yeah, back in the day, you know, we were talking about cassette tapes and using those kind of illustrations mm-hmm. that make no sense today. And obviously, in today's social media, so right. we had to refresh it. Right. Diane, why is writing important for a leader?
Writing is very important. That's a good question. As a Dove family, mm-hmm. we really emphasize relationships. And relationships require communication.
Right.
If you're going to be able to understand one another, we need to talk to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And writing is one way to do that. And I think when we write, we think a lot more about our words.
That's good.
We focus. We wordsmith more. We
mm-hmm.
we think about how to say something. We express things in writing that we wouldn't just say on an everyday conversation with
right.
each other. And so there's a depth or a richness, a clarity that comes when we actually put things in writing
mm-hmm.
that really helps in that communication process,
mm-hmm.
relationship building. Of course, we need all of them. We need the spoken, we need the written. But we don't want to leave out that aspect. So I think that it's a lot easier for people to follow a leader who has been able to refine their vision or
mm-hmm.
refine their ideas and put them in writing, and then people can follow what they understand.
The Habakkuk 2 talks mm-hmm. about writing the vision down, putting
mm-hmm.
it on a tablet
right.
so you can run together. It's just something about, I find, when you write it and then you rewrite it and rewrite, you finally say, that's what I'm
that's
really
exactly
saying.
That's exactly what I want to say.
Yeah, because often we're just talking, you know, whatever comes to mind.
Mm-hmm.
But that way we're really clear as to what the vision really is. Sarah,
mm-hmm.
how would you answer that question? Why is writing important for a leader?
I really appreciate what Diane just said. It is really meaningful for a person to refine their thoughts in a way that people
mm-hmm.
can digest the information quickly without, you know, listening through multiple sermons. There's so many different ways a person can write. I think that's why writing is important, because it's so many different ways. In
right.
you know, starting with an email, I mean, writing
right.
an email
yeah.
well,
right.
and then articles, blogs,
mm-hmm.
newsletters,
yeah.
all can be important, and it's a great start for a longer work.
Right.
There's all kinds of products that you can pull out of, like, this is an important message. How can I be filled in the Holy Spirit? Just a small thing. It's
mm-hmm.
just a few pages. It's just 36
right.
little pages
right.
that are key for helping your congregation or people in your region understand, what does it mean to be a real
right.
Christian?
Right.
Don't take that for granted.
Mm-hmm.
It's
mm-hmm.
simple, but it's profound in a world where there are so many voices saying so many different things. And then also we have workbooks that are important to be written.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it could be fill in the blank. It just could be like a workshop type thing you may do for your leaders. And then like a smaller book Larry wrote. Discipleship material, 12 books
mm-hmm.
on the basics
right.
of Christianity.
Right.
I think of everything we published, that has sold the most.
It's
I think
the
there's
most.
More than like a quarter of a million of those out
wow.
there somewhere, yeah. And I don't
there's
know how many languages,
copies.
Sarah, maybe 10, 12, I don't even know. Bunch of different languages.
It is in multiple languages. And again, this book has been around for a long time. And again, we refreshed it for a new generation. And actually, we turned it into a video series too.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Like we do this Devo, you know, 3 minutes a day, and people can get it free. And you check the show notes. You can, all the stuff's on the show notes. But it all started, you're right. It all started, Sarah, back with just handwriting stuff, right. You know, starting somewhere. Wow. What advice do you have, the two of you have, either of you, for someone who says, I know I'm called to write. I have no idea where to start. Diane, where would you start with that?
Start.
Just do something.
No idea where to start, but get out. Whether it's a, I think you need to understand, how can I write? Like, do I write with a pen and paper or a recording of a message or a teaching? Or just, sometimes I talk to my phone and record my voice on my phone just to get some ideas going.
That's
so
good.
If you just don't know what to write, say something and then write it down.
Yeah.
You know, we really cry for the communication that we want to get from, just what happened in your church this Sunday?
Exactly.
What testimony was given? What did somebody get healed? Just testimonies, sharing, anything. Just write it down, and then it can be shared broadly and build that relationship.
And some of that can be combined into a book in the future.
Oh, yes, yes.
Right.
Many times I would take little things that I've written here and there. I actually compiled them to get a book started or a larger work started.
Yeah,
so.
Done the same. Sarah, how about you? What do you recommend?
Recommend starting somewhere and then thinking broadly. It's not just about a 200-page book.
Right.
It's about communication and what works for your sphere of ministry. We have videos that come with some notes. That could be an important part of what you write, some notes for people to fill in the blank with a video series or a track or a blog or a sermon series that has discussion guides that small groups may talk about later. There's so many different ways that writing can be used and then rebuilt, if I can use that word, rebuilt. Either put together, a sermon series could turn into a book quite easily, actually.
Yeah.
Now, you may need some people to help you do some key things that other people, every book has a story and every story is going to be different according to what your gift mix is and what your team needs are. You're going to need an editor. Okay, I don't care who you are. You're going to need an editor.
Do.
You're going
need
to need,
lots of them.
You're going to need a proofreader.
This
is one mistake I see when people come in to Partnership Publications with a manuscript. There's a couple things I need them to do. And the first thing is have a plan. Okay, you're going to put all this work into a book. What is your plan for how it's going to be used?
Yeah.
That to me is important. And then we usually take the manuscript. Diane here would read through it and give some suggestions. She might say, okay, you need more illustrations. You need less bullet points.
Mm-hmm.
People tend to skip over bullet points, simple things like that. And then, you know, it may take a while. I rarely recommend take time to process your material and get other input, how to improve it, whether it's, you know, your wife, your spouse, or whether it's your children, whatever. There's all kinds of people that can be involved in helping you improve what you've written.
Right.
And an editor like Diane or another professional that you could have in your sphere that could do a great job of improving your text. And then it goes to a book format. We lay it out. It looks great. And it's a lot of fun to get it back.
All
my work. But it's important to finish the process, too. Once it's laid out, still look at it critically. Still have a proofreader read it. And then think about, once it's up on Amazon, it's available, how can this book get out to the people that I care deeply about?
Hi, Larry Kreider here. Before we continue with the episode, I want to announce my new segment, Ask Larry. It premieres in season 3 of the podcast. I want to hear from you. Starting next season, I'll be answering your leadership questions and covering the leadership topics that you want to hear about. To submit your questions, visit the show notes and click the link below. And as always, thank you for listening. Now, let's get back to the episode. Right. You said something, I think, really important. You said a lot of people think of a 200-page book or 150-page book, but it can't just be something small. It could be a track.
Yes.
You know, we sell hundreds of thousands of tracks. Right. And it's whatever. You start somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you've mentioned a few times, Sarah, Partnership Publications. Again, we're going to put that on the show notes. Tell us what that is. What is Partnership Publications?
Partnership Publications is where we help authors meet their goals of publishing a book. It could be a booklet. It could be a thicker book or a workbook. We help them pull it together and then, you know, help them think through how it gets used too.
So if you have an interest in writing, you don't know where to start, just go on the show notes. You'll see Partnership Publications, and we'll do all we can to help you get started on this. And I know you both work with Partnership Publications and as many others. And Sarah, you lead the way on that. Diane, what tips can you give to someone who wants to write? What would be helpful?
What kind of tips would you give? Want to write something that people will read.
Right.
There's a lot of things out there that I think Sarah mentioned. Sometimes things don't necessarily get read like we would like them to. So to make something interesting, usually shorter is better. Use fewer words. Use only the words that you have to. And make it personal. People identify with something has that personal touch. So stories, your own testimonies, your own story, your own journey, just like we started today, you asked, you know, where did we start? I shared my journey and Sarah shared hers. So be personal. And then beyond yourself, just stories about other people, illustrations. Right. Even if it's a theological book or a teaching book, something that you want people to learn from the Word of God, it can still have examples. Mm-hmm. It can still have stories so that people can identify with the reading. That's kind of like a breather or a relief when you're reading a story and then you get, you know, to the serious text or the teaching, but then you have a story. Jesus did that, didn't he?
He did it all the time. He spoke only in parables.
Right.
You know, I find people remember the story.
Right.
And then if they remember the story and the story they'll remember the truth.
The truth that goes along with it.
Yeah, it just connects in with that. Sarah, anything you'd add to that?
Good things take time.
Right.
And again, God builds with the fivefold ministry gifts.
Right.
God builds with teams.
Right.
So think of that with anything you do with writing, you know, even a blog. It's helpful to have someone else read over it, you know, for simple things. It doesn't have to be a large team for simple projects, but it's still going to be better if you have multiple people involved just even helping to give ideas. Mm-hmm. And again, there's multiple ways. Once something's written down, you can turn it into so many different things.
That's right.
And break it out. Like often people who have written things here at Dove International will want the PDF of their book and they'll pull things out for a sermon series that they're doing or use chunks of it in a blog.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So it's helpful to have your thoughts written down. It takes time. It takes energy, but we feel here it's well worth it.
I've been so grateful for Diane, you, and many other editors who've helped me take my large run-on sentences and cut them down for the readable, you know. I mean, you're right. Everybody really does need editors. I mean, I know some of the best writers in the world who've told me that I need an editor.
Sure.
So we all need people to help us do that. I certainly do, and I think we all do. Sarah, let's talk about publishing. What's involved in the actual publishing process?
Things are simple today with the short-run press.
Sure.
More simple, I should say. There's still steps that you need to walk through that if there's someone who's done it before, can definitely be a help. There's so many ways to get to a printed book these days that are easier than it used to be, where you had to get 1,000 books to make it cost effective. But you take your manuscript once it's done, you put it into a page format. It's something you'll need to think about. What size book do I want? What do I want the cover to look like? And then it goes into layout. It needs to be proofread. And then we can upload it to Amazon or send it to the printer. And you get it back and it's okay. Next step of where does it go? All around the world, hopefully.
Right. You know, Amazon has changed things
so much
when it comes to publishing. It was only a few years ago, so I remember we were getting 5,000 books and, you know, and that kind of thing from printers, and you know, you didn't know if you could sell them or not. Mm-hmm. It was always taking a chance. You didn't know. Mm-hmm. And today, you can just get a few, you know, use Amazon, get a few books and start there. And so that has really changed the world. Mm-hmm. And you've helped, sir, a lot of writers walk through that whole process, and we're here to help them. Anything else you'd say about this whole process, Diane, that would be important?
Just the emphasis on the team.
Yeah.
Even, as you said, the best writers need a team around them.
They do.
And I think when we write the books that you mentioned for the schools, we write on teams. And, you know, we're top top writers in the nation, so to speak, and yet we sharpen each other, we help each other. So work with other people. Share your vision for what you want to do and work with others.
Talk to us, gals, about audiobooks, ebooks, etc.
That's all part of the package of how your work can reach your audience. Okay. Audiobook is commonly used more so for the younger generation of people that want content, but they're on the go.
Right.
Once you have your book, you can turn it into an audiobook. It's your book is a basis in the written format where we can become audio or just very inexpensively become an ebook. Again, which these things can be travel around the world very easily in some of these other formats.
And obviously, partnership publications can help anybody with that whole process as needed. Mm-hmm. Anything else you say about that, Diane?
Well, it starts with a book. I mean, it goes audio, it goes to Kindle or whatever in these other formats, but it still starts with something that has been written.
Yeah.
So that's really where to start for that media.
You know, looking back, we've been amazed in our family of churches, Dove International, you know, in 25 countries now of the world. It's been amazing how the printed page books have made a difference for us in our growth. One example would be, I have in my hands here Microchurch Networks, which is the second rendition of this book. It was House Church Networks, Church for a New Generation, talking about how the new house churches aren't made at the body of Christ, but they're a new way of a new wineskin for new wine, that whole thing. And I remember I was speaking in Thailand a few years ago, and just a short man came up to me, and he said, I came to this conference, he said, to meet you. I said, really? He said, a pastor from USA sent me a book. It was a book, House Church Networks.
Wow.
And he said, we're doing this all over my nation in Myanmar. And he said, my heart is to work with all of you. We have the same vision. We want to work together.
Great.
And now today, you know, there's like 80-some churches.
Yes.
They're working with our family of churches in Myanmar because of a book.
Right.
Because of the printed page. It's powerful. Yeah. And so I think it's just so important. Another example I want to give is years ago, we had a consultant who came in, and Sarah, you work with him, to try to get our books out. We're learning about publishing, we're learning about how does this all work. And he looked at us and he said, you know what's really needed? He said, I think you guys and gals could help with the body of Christ with, and that is eldership, leadership. A book on eldership, there's very, very little written on that. And so four of us wrote that together. You know, it's Ron Meyer, Steve Bukowczyk, Brian Souter, myself, wrote that together. And it's done really well. It's now different languages. It's now been updated. You know, we keep updating. Recently updated again. You got to keep things up to date and sharp. But it was interesting. And one thing we learned as we wrote that together, it's not easy to write a book together with other people. You've got four people, strong personalities. And I realized I need to walk in security that as the leader of the team, that if we weren't quite sure about something, I had to make the final decision. So that's important when you work with somebody else, that you're clear as to who's making the final decision, especially when you work with multiple authors. So anyway, that's an example of that. And then, you know, we've got, for example, we've taught so much in small groups over the years, and we did this little manual called Small Group Basics that we teach on small groups throughout the body of Christ. Again, there's all these different forms. Don't just think in terms of 150 to 200 page book. You know, there's tracks, there's, you know, and there's just so many, many, many different options. And anything the two of you would like to say in regards to all that?
Well, I think we have a responsibility to reach our generation.
We do.
And writing is one of the tools,
That's
not the only one, but it's one of the tools that we
yes.
can use. So we want to use whatever means we can to get the word out, get the message out, tell people of Christ and his love and his relevance to our lives today. We have that responsibility.
Yeah. Anybody listening today, if you feel like you say, maybe I am called to write. I think there's some of you right now for the first time thinking, really, I could actually write? Yeah. I mean, that was huge to me when I was in my 30s. And I shared in a former podcast that my father came to me one day and said, Larry, you're going to write someday. I know you will. I said, really? I never even thought of it.
Right.
And a few years down the road then, these first books, House to House and Knowing Jesus Christ as Lord, came out in a simplistic form. Mm-hmm. But I believe many are listening today are called to write, and we're here to help you. Partnership Publications is here to help you, and we have all kinds of information on the show notes that could really, really help you. Anything else either of you would like to say?
Well, yes, you asked earlier, what does someone do if you feel like you want to write, but you don't know how to go about it? There are, as with anything today, there are tools out there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not suggesting that you have Grammarly write your work, but, you know, look on YouTube. Find basic writing
so
guidelines. You can get started in those ways.
Good. Sarah, anything else you want to add to the conversation?
God's given you a deposit as a leader that no one else has.
So good.
So this is your opportunity to use another way of reaching your generation. We keep saying that, but it's so important that we take responsibility for touching people around us with the truth of God's word. There's so many ways to do it with video, audio, and then use writing tools alongside of those creative things. And Diane did make an important point. There's tools to help you get started. Mm-hmm. YouTube writing, inspiration. You can think of it as inspiration. It's not that it's going to write it for you, but
right.
And there's tools that can help you along the way with grammar and even sentence structure. The word program itself is helpful. It's still not going to write it for you, but there's tools that can help you along the way.
Yeah, it's easier today to write than ever any time in history.
True.
From my perspective,
that's
it really
true.
Is. Mm-hmm. There's just so many tools available to help us, and if we can be of help in any way, obviously we would be certainly happy to do that. Mm-hmm. So this is the generation that needs to know more about Jesus, needs to meet the Lord, and much of that comes through writing our stories, telling our stories, writing our stories, and cooperating with others who are writing stories for the kingdom of God to grow.
Yes.
Any last-minute thoughts before we close out today, women of God?
Start writing. If there's something on your mind, start writing.
Start writing. And anything more from you, Sarah?
Thank God that you're there. We're glad for the godly men and women who are out there leading.
Mm-hmm.
I have teenage children, and I'm excited to see what's going to happen with the next generation.
Amen.
And they need you as leaders to do all that you can, use the different gifts God's given you, and communicate.
Wow, thank you. There's a wealth of insight today in this podcast. Diane Amandi from Nairobi, Kenya, thank you so much for being here and sharing all your insights with us. Sarah Souter from Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, thank you for being here and for all you do, sharing your insights and all you do to help so many writers around the world. So thank you for joining us today.
Thank you.
Great to have you both. And again, check out the show notes, much more that you can pick up on any of these books that we talked about here. I will mention one other book. You know, people say, is it hard to write? And I say, if you're going to write, you got to realize it's work.
Sure.
It really is work. Sure. I've only had one book out of 40-some books that just kind of, it's kind of like the word float off my tongue, you know, like that. And that was a book, Your Personal House of Prayer.
Okay.
And I don't know why that's the case, but this book just kind of came together. It wasn't perfect. But it came together much simpler than most of the other books. And it's probably because it was a real revelation for me on how to pray, you know, in that season of my life. And really, in fact, I saw what I've written in that book. I still continue day by day to use that same guideline in prayer today. It's been really helpful to me. It's Your Personal House of Prayer. So thank you for joining us today for the Larry Crider Leadership Podcast. Again, check out the show notes. This is the podcast where we learn these little things we can change in our lives that will make a massive difference in our lives and the lives of those we serve and those they serve for generations to come. God bless you. Look forward to seeing you back here again next week.
Thank you for listening to Larry Crider's Leadership Podcast. If you want more information about any of Larry's books, daily devotionals, small group resources, or any other teachings, go to LarryCrider.com.